What sacrifices have you made to be a Christian? What sacrifices have you made, or do you continue to have to make as you continue as a Christian? Or if we take a step back and ask a slightly different question, what is your Christianity all about? What is your Christianity like? What does it mean for you to be a Christian? The context of our reading today, if you look down in your Bibles, just before our reading, we have the famous words of Peter when he confesses Jesus as the Christ. Jesus asks his disciples, who do the people say I am? Who do the people say the Son of Man is? The disciples share what others have said about Jesus before Peter responds and says, well, we say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to him is to say, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter says some incredible words as he confesses and recognizes and acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, the rescuer from God, the Son of the living God himself. Is that enough, though? Is it enough that he speaks these words of confession as to the identity of Jesus? Is it enough to say some things about Jesus? Is it enough to acknowledge with our lips that, yeah, Jesus is Lord? Yeah, Jesus is God. Yeah, he is the rescuer who has come to love us and to die for us. Is it enough to say that that is who Jesus is? Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus began to show them, what does it mean that he is the Christ? What does it mean if Jesus is the Son of God? And he shows them that if that is who he is, then he will walk the path of sacrifice and of self-denial. What it means for Jesus to be the Son of the living God is that he will go to the cross. He will deny himself. He will lay down his life because of his great love for his church. And he will sacrifice himself because he is the Christ. And notice Peter's response, verse 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You're the Son of God. Doesn't the Father love you? He wants good things for you. He would never want you to suffer. He would never want you to go through hardship or trial. He would never want you to have a difficult life because he loves you. Surely God wouldn't ask this of his Son. And Jesus' response, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. You see, for Peter, at this point, he recognizes who Jesus is, but he doesn't recognize all that that entails. He thinks that Jesus, as the Christ, the Son of the living God, can serve himself. He can walk the path of self-satisfaction. He can walk the way of looking after number one. And Jesus says that that way of thinking is satanic. It is worldly. It is ungodly. The Christ cannot, must not walk this way. He cannot serve himself. He cannot be all about me, me, me. The way of Jesus, his Christianity, is a life of self-denial, of sacrifice for the sake of others, of putting to death his own life so that others might benefit. That is the type of Christianity Jesus is about. A merely verbal Christianity, a Christianity which simply comes from our lips and does no more. A Christianity that requires no sacrifice and no self-denial. That's not the way of Jesus. And if you think you can be a Christian without sacrifice, or perhaps maybe just a little bit of sacrifice, well, then we're not thinking and walking the way Jesus walks. But even in the midst of these words of challenge, even in the midst of calling us to lay down our lives, we've got to remember that Jesus is the God of life, right? He's not here calling us simply to lay down our lives and kind of end of story. Notice what Jesus is calling us to. Verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He is the God of grace and of mercy. He is a life-giving. He doesn't want us simply to lose our life. He wants us to lose it in order to gain it. Think about the hypothetical musician, 20 years old. She's incredibly talented at the piano and a number of other instruments. She's gained a bit of a local celebrity status. Every Friday and Saturday night, she'll be at the local pub or bar, and she'll be playing music, and everyone comes and enjoys all that she has to offer. And then one weekend, a professor from the Royal Academy of Music comes along, passes through town, happens to hear this girl playing, and is just mesmerized by her charisma, her talent, her character, her dedication to her craft. And as the evening draws to a close, this professor offers this young lady an opportunity. He says, why don't you leave all this behind? Why don't you give up this little town for now? Why don't you give up your celebrity status here? And why don't you give up the next 3, 4, 5 years of your life, however long it takes, come with me to the Royal Academy of Music and receive great instruction and training, because I think you could be a world talent. You could grip the world with the music that you produce. And you know, this 20-year-old girl would be a fool to say, no, I don't really want to give up all that I've got here. I don't really want to give up this nice life that I've got and everyone thinks I'm great. She'd be a fool not to give that up in order to gain something so much greater, surely. And so it is here. Jesus does say, yeah, give up your life. Live a life of sacrifice and of self-denial in order that you might gain your life. You see, the thing is, you're going to lose your life. You will lose your life. Father time will catch up to you. Old age, if nothing else, will come and pull you down to the grave at some point or another. But here Jesus' offer is, lay down your life willingly, now, in order that you might gain it. Verse 25, whoever would save his life will lose it. If you don't give it up willingly, it will be taken from you unwillingly, and you will not receive it back. But if you give up your life for me willingly, if you live the life of sacrifice and of self-denial in order to follow me, says Jesus, then you will find it. So what does this look like? What does it look like if we say, right, I want to walk the path of self-sacrifice. I do want to walk the way of Jesus. I want to walk the path of self-denial. So it's not about serving me. It's not about loving me, 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 and my needs, my ease, my comfort, my enjoyment, my satisfaction. I want to live for Christ and his glory and his praise and his majesty. And I want to serve him. And I want to serve the people that he loves. What does that look like? I think one of the easiest ways to look at it is to look at some concrete examples of the way we use our time. You'll have heard the cliche phrase of love is a four-letter word, T-I-M-E. The way we spend our time exposes our hearts and exposes our priorities as to what is important to us. So what does it look like if we listen and heed the words of Jesus? Well, think about our Sunday services. We're here on a Sunday morning at 10:30. Why have you come today? Why did you come last week? Why do you come any week? What do you expect as you walk through those doors, as you pull yourself out of bed on a Sunday morning, earlier than perhaps you wanted it to be? Do you come through these doors hoping that you'll get something? Do you come through these doors thinking, I wonder what others can do for me today? What can I get out of church? The 100 or so other people in the building, what can they give me today? What can Jesus give me today? We might never think those words explicitly, but do we come through the doors of church thinking, it's about what I enjoy? It's about what I want and what I like? Or the other side of the question would be, when do you not come to church? When do you not come? What causes you to think that something else is more important? What are your priorities? Is it that there's something better on offer? Perhaps something else that you more enjoy, or which you think you'll gain more entertainment out of, perhaps? Maybe it's simply that church is inconvenient. It comes at a bad time. And frankly, serving Jesus isn't all that important to us. The life of sacrifice and of self-denial, the life of serving the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to see what I have to offer to others. I'm going to see what I have to give in order to help others be encouraged this morning. I've even heard of churches where the different weeks of the month will be very different style services. And people pick the week that they like. And that's the only week they turn up. Oh, that's the traditional service. I'll only go to that one. Oh, that's the one with all the modern songs produced in the last 2.5 years. I'll go to that one and no others. That's saying that church is about me, about what I enjoy, about what I get out of it, about what I like. Not the life of sacrifice, of self-denial, of service to Christ and those whom he loves. Or taking a step back and thinking more broadly about our diaries. What dates go into your diary first? What takes priority as you're planning your diary more widely? Again, I know people who, the moment the fixtures for the new football season comes out, they'll have their diaries out, and every home match, probably every away match as well, will be in it, non-negotiable. Nothing will get in the way of me going to these matches. And we see their priorities. We didn't have a holiday Bible club this year, so I'm not making a particular point to knock people. But holiday club, I think, is a great example. In the summer often, or half term, whatever it is, 3 or 4 or 5 days of a club run for primary school aged children, teaching them the stories of Jesus. There's often a recruitment drive in any church asking for leaders to come along. What do you think when you hear the invitation to come and join? Do you think, oh, I've only got 2 weeks left of annual leave this year. I could spend that week of annual leave on the beach, a cottage, fish and chips. Or I could spend it in a hall with 20 mad children running around in a hot, sweaty room singing children's songs. I'm going to have to lose out on the things I enjoy if I help out with this holiday club. What would the life of sacrifice and of self-denial ask of us? Now, these are just some examples, right? I'm not saying that anytime anyone asks you anything in the church, you've got to say yes. That everyone's got to be busy, busy in the life of the church. That unless you've got 6 nights, 7 nights of the week booked out in your diary doing something related with the church, then you're failing to heed Jesus' words. But I do think we need to stop and ask ourselves, what does it look like for me to live a life of self-sacrifice? What does it look like for me to live a life of self-denial and say, I'm going to live the life of Christ, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to serve his church and the people whom he loves? You may know non-Christians, well, I hope you know non-Christians. You may know some who are very driven and very zealous and who have great fervor in the things that they do. I know some guys who work very, very hard in order to get another nice new car, or who work very, very hard in order to afford their next holiday, or who work very, very hard in order to buy a house, whatever it is. And you know what? I think it saddens me. Well, it saddens Jesus that there are non-Christians who are more zealous for the things which they are striving for than Christians are zealous for Christ and for the church. It saddens him when people come after him and they don't take up their cross and they don't deny themselves. And we seek to continue to serve me and my desires and my enjoyments. What about prayer meeting and home groups? Too busy? Perhaps you've heard the call to come to a home group, to sign up, to come to a prayer meeting, whatever else it might be, and you think, well, I'm not really interested in that sort of thing. I'm not sure it does anything for me. And we don't even give it a second thought. Whereas I think the life of self-sacrifice and of self-denial says, wait a second. Can I serve Christ by doing this? Can I serve others by going along to this or to that? That's not just about church things. What about your workplace? The work that you engage in. What does it look like for you to live a life of self-sacrifice and of self-denial? When the option comes up between job A or job B or taking on this contract or that, what shapes and influences your decision? How do you spend your money? Is it a priority that you get the things which you enjoy? What about relationships? Or any other area of life? I think the call here in Jesus' words is to step back, to look at all that we're involved in, all that we do and think, and to ask ourselves a question, what does it look like for me to walk in the path of self-denial, of sacrifice for the sake of others, for the service of Christ and of his church? Now again, I'm not saying that we're all going to end up looking the same. We're all going to end up doing exactly the same thing. I'm not saying, you know, you never have a meal out again because you want to save that money to give to the church. Or when you do go out and eat, you look through the menu, you've got to pick the cheapest thing, because every penny you save is to be given to the church. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you've got to pick a job which is super flexible and allows you to drop your work at any moment so that you come to the church and do a church thing. I'm not saying that. Jesus isn't saying that, but he is saying, are you giving your whole life up to follow me? Is the pursuit of Christ and the service of his church absolutely and utterly crucial and critical to you and to your priorities? Now the thing is, this is what we enjoy about Jesus, isn't it? In a few moments, we're going to come to communion. Week by week, don't we remember the sacrifice of Jesus? Don't we remember his self-denial of himself and saying, I'm not going to serve me, but I'm going to serve others? Isn't this the glory of Jesus on the cross? Isn't this what we find supremely impressive about him? Isn't this supremely desirable in our Lord? Don't we look at him and see that he is a God of great love and compassion, who always puts others first? And don't we say, yeah, you're amazing for that, Lord Jesus. This is an invitation from the Lord. Not just to look on him not just to look on his life and to see the things which he does and the things which make him great, but it's an invitation from him to join with him, to share with him in his life, to deny ourselves and say, you know what, I'm not going to serve me anymore. My life is not about me and my own ease and comfort, but it's about Christ and his church. This is going to look different for each of us. And in fact, there are many in the church who already walk this way, who already walk the path of self-denial and of sacrifice. Many who have given up a great many number of things because they love the Lord and they love the church. And that's wonderful. That's obedience. And you'll know in your own lives when you've done that, the joy of following the Lord Jesus in great obedience. And you'll look forward to that day when, verse 27, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay each person according to what he has done. And there are many in the church who will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that path of self-sacrifice and of self-denial will have been worth it, and already is worth it. And so here in the words of Jesus, we have the invitation either to keep going, right? If you're already walking that path of self-denial and of sacrifice, the invitation is to join Jesus and to keep going. To keep going on that path of not loving me, but loving others. For others, perhaps, it might be the invitation to begin to walk down that path of self-sacrifice and of self-denial. Of saying, you know what, far too long I have lived and loved me. But today, and every day, will be a day where I begin more and more to heed the words of Jesus, to take up my cross, to deny myself, and to follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Spirit given to your church. We ask that by your Spirit you might grant us the strength and the courage to hear the words of Jesus and to put them into practice. Help us, Lord, we pray, to see the great love that has been lavished on us, the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has made. Might we walk in his ways, obeying his commands, serving you, serving the church, serving those who do not yet know you and who are lost in darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.